Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
So, is the plan to catch billionaire tax cheats by snooping on accounts that just have $10,000 in them?
Well, that's not exactly an accurate description. So let me help you with an accurate description of what is actually happening here.
My soul reaches a cross through and starts to drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studio.
If you look at this sifting through our bank accounts at either a $600 level or even a higher dollar level, where the IRS goes through all of your bank accounts, all that comes in, all that comes out. So it is a lie that they're only going after the rich people. They're going to go after ordinary people, and they're going to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze more money out of you if they possibly can.
So just chill out. You know, drink a 7-Up, eat a moon pie. Quit murdering people.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Well, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. My table just arrived in Florida. Celebration. We'll soon be in a new studio. And I won't be broadcasting from the bar, the round bar tables. Like, it's nice if you got a hot date, but it's kind of hard to, you know, figure out to keep everything straight on these two tables. But anyway, we got the table. I'm sorry if, you know, you haven't gotten what you need, whatever it is, a dishwasher, a treadmill, etc. All right, before we go to, we got Jeff Deal on the line, but we have to play one cut here. Joe Biden is really putting on an amazing performance tonight here. He has mentioned the Build Back Better plane. Are you going to be taking? Is that the plane you're taking tomorrow, Taylor? The Build Back Better plane?
I hope not. That sounds a little too experimental for me.
And he also said that mothers and fathers don't have the capacity or the inclination to talk to their children. Now that's kind of strange to say that, is it not? But anyway, we've got one cut. We just want to play here. We're still the speech continues interminably. Endlessly, but we'll have the cuts before the end of the night, or some of them anyway. But here's one cut that's already popped up on Twitter.
I'd ride every day. I commuted every single day for 36 years as Vice President of the United States. After my wife and daughter were killed, I went home to see my family. Never stopped.
He became Vice President in 1970. I thought there was a 35. I thought the 35-year age requirement applied to vice president as well as president. He was 29 years old and he became vice president.
But you have to be 35 when you're sworn in, though, right? Isn't that the
yeah because he wanted to get home every night. That's why he took the train for 36 years as vice president, because he wanted to get home, as he said the other day, and get in bed with his two sons.
That's a quote,
folks. All dialogue guaranteed verbatim, as we always say. Okay, so the speech continues, but we wanted to talk to Jeff Deal. There was an amazing poll came out this morning. It was from Public Policy something or other, PPP. It's a Democrat polling group in North Carolina. And it was paid for by the Democrat Governors Association, and they did a poll of likely Republican voters in the Massachusetts gubernatorial primary next year. We don't know if Charlie Baker is going to run for re-election or not. It seems like he's not leaning in that direction, but he's got to be put in the poll. And his only announced opponent right now is Jeff Deal, the former state rep and former U.S. Senate candidate from Whitman. And I'll let Jeff tell you what the poll showed. It was pretty astounding to me. Jeff Deal, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
No, thanks, Howie. Yeah, first of all, I'm glad you mentioned that it wasn't me that put the poll out, because the numbers were really strong in our favor. But you can also be sure Charlie didn't pay for the poll either, because you know, with Charlie's polls only show that he's the most popular governor in the country, evidently. But anyway, the results were that I come out at 50% and Charlie comes out at 29%. Favorable within the Republican voters universe for the primary. So pretty good stuff. The other thing was his unfavorables are at high, 54%, and his favorables are at 30%. So it's you know, it's a poll that I think he's going to have to think twice about when it comes to deciding if he's going to run or not. But we're really proud about the fact that I think a lot of the people that have supported me in the past are with us again, and I think they are looking at Massachusetts as needing some help. So I'm looking forward to doing it.
You know, I looked at it and I said, wow, that's amazing that Jeff is that far ahead, because I had heard in the summer, I think I told you this, that a Baker person told me that you guys were running neck and neck, and I thought that sounded pretty good for you. But then when I thought about it, 50% for Deal in this poll and 29% for Baker, I had to ask myself, who the hell is that 29%? You know, does he have 29% of the Republicans in the state on his personal payroll? They're going to get fired if they don't answer correctly?
It's not police. It's not corrections officers. It's not nurses. Anybody who's basically right now being threatened with losing their job if they don't get a vaccination, I can tell you they're not in that 29%. And I know a lot of parents are upset about mask mandates. So I think, you know, Charlie's instituted a lot of things that really have hurt his popularity. But, you know, again, to be at 50%, I'm very proud of that. We look forward to adding to that and making sure that we work hard for the people of Massachusetts, not just in the campaign, but as governor.
Yeah. Let me read you something from the Mass Correction Officers Federated Union. This is their update today. Over 550 of our members still are awaiting word on their medical or religious exemptions. Simply put, Governor Baker's administration cannot make it up as they go without being challenged by this union. Not when your religious and medical beliefs, your professional careers, and your ability to provide for your families hangs in the balance.
Yeah, Howie, I don't know if you know the backstory on that. I talked to McCufu and those the leadership and those officers, and they mentioned to me that the woman working at the Baker administration who was in charge of exemptions, she was granting them based on religious exemptions, and they felt that she was giving too many out. They ended up firing her. They walked her out of the building, I think, a week or a week and a half ago, and left these guys in the lurch as far as, you know, decisions on what's going to happen with them in their exemption requests.
And then they said, even if you could prove it, it would be an ask for an accommodation for your religious or medical exemption. We can't provide it because it would be an inconvenience to the administration. And then they admitted that they don't have any patients or any, excuse me, inmates COVID.
Yeah, no inmates. I know. Yeah. Can you imagine
and now,
that? You've got to get a shot to protect inmates that aren't infected. Okay.
And don't have to get the shot. So today, in this press or right. this memo to the membership, they said leadership was advised of a handful of positive COVID cases discovered through testing of inmates. What we have not seen today is the response to this handful of positive cases reported is the forced vaccination of inmates, vendors, visitors, or attorneys who routinely come inside our prisons daily. Wearing of masks, religious testing, and isolating is what is being done by this administration, unless it relates to you, and then meaning you have to get a shot. And I'm sure Charlie Parker says, "Gee, I wonder why they're turning against me."
Yeah, well, and look, I mean, these guys are brave to stand up to him, but maybe they see the writing on the wall that he's not going to be here for a long time. The other thing too is, I mean, you know about the state police officer who did get the shot because he wanted to keep his job about a week or so ago. Ended up, you know, he's in the hospital. He's on the force for 20 years, two kids, and because he got the shot, he's in a coma at this point. You know, people are risking their lives if they take the shot. You should be able to make your own medical decisions, and Governor Baker just steamrolling over that right now. It's unbelievable.
And three state troopers resigned. It was on the orders of the day yesterday. I think a 10-year veteran, a 12-year veteran, and a fairly new guy. One of them was an ex-Marine, and one other was a guy from a native of Walpole. I mean, these are good cops.
Howie,
these aren't the cops who are were embezzling money. You know?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's enough National Guard to drive school buses. I guess he figures there's enough National Guard to do just about every other job that state workers should be doing if they don't get the shot, right? That's the mentality going on with Governor Baker. It's it's sad to see, but I'm glad that the officers are fighting back, and I look to join them in that fight because I think this is unconstitutional, and I think that the rulings by the judges that he's appointed are also bad decisions.
Yeah, some of them are federal judges too, but they're Obama judges, or they get a state pension, so you know they're kind of in the same. the same camp.
Yeah, the state police, the judge for the state police was a state judge though. So, always question. They don't want to bite the hand that feeds them. That's for sure.
Right. And Hillman, the federal judge who ruled against the correctional officers, he's a federal judge, but he gets an $89,000 state pension because he used to be a state judge. So it's nice. It's nice work if you can get it, right? $270,000 or so between the pension and the federal salary. So where people are saying, how do they get in touch with you if they want to work for
right.
you?
We've got actually the website up. I'm out and about with the campaign. We're on the road all the time. So go to the website to find out where I'm going to be at. If you want to support me or get a lawn sign or a T-shirt or things like that, just jeffdiehl.com, GeoffDiehl.com. And, take those poll numbers and let people know we're going to win this thing.
All right. I tweeted out the story. It was in Politico. Politico broke the story today. So it's in the Politico playbook. But if you're a follower of mine, you can just go and you can see the first two paragraphs of the story on my tweet that I sent out. Okay. Thank you, Jeff Diehl. And we'll be talking to you again soon. And congratulations on a pretty unexpected poll, I guess would say. Well, thank you very much.
First it's Trump's endorsement, then the poll. Thank you, Howie. Take care.
Bye-bye. My friends at Balance 7 are doing something they've never done before. They are taking $10 off plus free shipping on their 32-ounce supply bottle to make it even more affordable for listeners to try. This 11-day supply will cost you less than $20. Balance 7 gives me more energy than coffee, and with this price, it costs less than a cup of coffee. Howie Carr Show listeners love Balance 7. One listener writes, I started drinking Balance 7 three times a day, and within 2 weeks, I started enjoying activities like hiking again. I headed back to Florida last week, and I took 4 jugs with me. That's how much I love it. Balance 7 is a clear mineral liquid that you take 3 times a day to break down the acids in your body. Often at remotes, listeners thank me for introducing them to Balance 7. Balance 7 works by reducing the acids that naturally build up in your body over time. Acids can come from coffee or even wine. All you do is drink a small shot of the liquid 3 times a day and you will feel the difference within 72 hours. If you suffer from heartburn or joint discomfort, then give Balance 7 a try. This special is for 1 week only, so order today at balance7.com and put in code Howie10 for $10 off and free shipping. Order today and save $10 off their 11-day supply bottle and receive free shipping with code Howie10. That's code word Howie10 at balance7.com. I'm Howie Carr.
He's making talk radio great again. He's Howie Carr.
You gotta ask yourself questions. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
The Howie Carr Show.
Take a load off this fall with HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers recipes and pre-portioned ingredients to your door, so you can actually enjoy dinner, like Taylor and Patrice and Jared and all the rest of us do, Grace and I. Instead of stressing about meal prep and grocery shopping, get up to 14 free meals plus free shipping with code Howie14 at HelloFresh.com/Howie14. That's code Howie14 at HelloFresh.com/Howie14. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Joe Manchin leave the Democratic Party?
No, he will not.
75% believe no, he will not. 25% believe he will.
All right. 508 says, why do we keep alluding to Charlie Parker while discussing the vaccine mandates in Massachusetts? I thought these mandates came down from President Joe Biden. I'm very confused and hoping you can help me understand this. Joe Biden announced that he was going to have a mandate for all federal workers, federal contractors, and corporations with more than 100 workers, and that OSHA would have to issue the requirements. But OSHA has not issued the requirements. This was 6 weeks ago, so he was basically issuing an empty threat. And they claim, oh, we're getting closer to it. We've drawn up a draft of the OSHA requirements, and we're gonna have them shortly. But these mandates we're talking about with the state police, with the correctional officers union, with all the other 42,000 employees of the executive branch of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, these are all mandates, orders issued by Governor Charlie Parker. And it's called Executive Order 595, and that's what you all must. It's the new Ten Commandments of the Hackerama. You have to obey the Executive Order 595, and that's what they're using as their power to fire all these people who won't play ball. Although again, they're moving very slowly. They're trying to. I don't know what they're hoping for. They're hoping that everybody will eventually get cowed. But I think at this point, after the state police actually put out there's two different websites for the state police. There's one that it's mspfreedom.org. Give me the exact. We tweeted it out earlier in the day, and that's set up by the state police who are trying to get an option to getting the vaccine. What is it? What's it called?
It's mspmedicalfreedom.com.
mspmedicalfreedom.com. So that's, and then there's the state police union. SPAM has their own website, and they've got a clock running. And the clock says since 62 days since Charlie Parker issued this executive order, and then there's a certain number of days since it went into effect, which is about 2.5-3 days now at this point. So it's just a real mess. There's no question about it. We're going to have some Biden cuts after the bottom of the hour, but we told you yesterday about Monica Cannon Grant. She's the activist, quote unquote activist, who's in Boston. She runs this group that's supposedly a community activist group in Roxbury. It's supposed to stop violence in Boston. As soon as she got some money, though, she moved out of the city of Boston, like so many have, of all colors, creeds, persuasions, etc. She now lives in Taunton, and her husband was indicted yesterday for allegedly fraudulently obtaining unemployment benefits he was not entitled to under the COVID relief plan, and also I think for mail fraud. He was trying to use the bank account of his wife's anti-violence so-called community activist group to finance the buying of the house in Taunton. And so he's now looking at 20, 30 years, and by the way, he has a public defender. Isn't that nice? They got his wife's got a bank account in her nonprofit, so-called, of over $400,000, and you and I are picking up the tab, which is nothing new, but still it's kind of frustrating to hear about it whenever you do. So anyway, again, remember, he's charged with stealing $68,000 in COVID relief funds. This is from one of her tweets earlier in the panic. Structural racism is the real pandemic. We need sustained investment in deprived communities. Is this what her husband meant by sustained investment, Taylor? $68,000. That's what he's charged with stealing from the feds. Let's see here.
I saw that house. It looked like a deprived community.
Here's, and by the way, her Twitter handle is Pro Rock Thrower. I guess she never heard the one about if you live in glass houses, you shouldn't be throwing stones. So here's another one. This was from September 15th. Huge thank you to City Councilor Julia Mejia. This is one of the crazy new city councilors who won by like 2 votes to get on the city council, for this beautiful citation for the work I was able to do alongside community during phase one of the COVID-19 pandemic. Oh, that's so touching, isn't it? Here's another one from March 30th, 2020. Please don't suggest scaling back or stopping unless you have a solution to feed our communities. Many were barely eating before COVID-19. It's worse now. Many were barely eating. Present company excluded, I would think, Monica, right? I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We're just waiting to get the sheet here, and then we'll start playing some of the Biden cuts as we go through the remainder of the show. But I'm just looking at Monica Cannon Grant's media mentions over the last year and a half. And again, the Boston Globe described her as one of the most influential Bostonians last year. And they gave her another slobbering, wet kiss of a profile, journalistic equivalent of unsafe sex. I read that last year. They described her as a mother bear. But boy, she's had her eyes on the big bucks with this pandemic money that her husband is now accused of stealing. This was something she wrote, or someone wrote for her, in Commonwealth magazine. Structural racism is the real pandemic. And she talked about the need for additional billions in relief. And again, remember what her husband is accused of stealing. We need the kind of political will that has been wielded to free up billions of dollars in a few weeks during the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm just skipping between paragraphs here. We need sustained, substantial investment in deprived communities. Are you referring to your old home in Roxbury or your new home in Taunton? Monica Cannon Grant, for business owners and restaurants, for formerly incarcerated people. How about future incarcerated people? Do they need billions in COVID relief or not? We need an equitable Boston emerging from this pandemic. An equitable Boston or an equitable Taunton? I don't know. We'll know more as time goes on. 844-500-4242. 603 says he's only accused of stealing the funds that normal citizens couldn't be bothered to steal. You know, it really is they always used to talk about a cabinet as diverse as America itself. The people have been indicted for stealing money from the COVID relief funds, whether it's the corporate funds or the payroll protection plans. It is a list of convicts and indictees as diverse as America itself. It includes NFL players. I believe it includes NBA players, businessmen of all stripes, politicians, et cetera, et cetera. All right, we have the cuts here. We're going to start playing them. Hang on, we may take a couple more calls before it's over, but I don't even know where to begin. It's kind of crazy here, but let's go with. He used to work. He used to be the vice president under somebody. So let's go. Let's start with cut 7.
And by the way, one of the things the president put me in charge of on my
Joe Biden.
I want to be clear 7. Here.
We're going to get
President
there.
Obama put me in charge of when I was vice president.
Maybe we're not. I don't know what's going on.
And by the way, one of the things the president put me in charge of my, I want to be clear here, President Obama put me in charge of when I was vice president.
He forgot his name. I mean, again, we have to ask the question, was someone telling him what Obama's name was? Was he wearing something in his ear so one of his caregivers could tell him what his name was? It certainly seems that way, again, because if you forget someone's name, you generally think of it, if you're going to think of it, within 2 or 3 seconds, correct? Let's hear that one again. Cut 7.
And by the way, one of the things the president put me in charge of my, I want to be clear here, President Obama put me in charge of when I was vice president.
Okay. What do we have to do in the Build Back Better plane? What do we have to do with the roads, Mr. Dementia Joe Biden? Cut 13.
We have to invest in our resilience. Building roads higher. When I say build back better.
We have to build roads higher?
We have to invest in our resilience. Building roads higher. When I say build.
Remember he said, too, that he was driving to New York on through New Jersey, and the roads had been overflown by floods. So I guess this is the solution to the roads being overflown by floods. We're going to build them higher. Okay, now let's listen to the Amtrak cut again about as many years. Cut four.
I'd ride every day. I commuted every single day for 36 years as Vice President of the United States. After my wife and daughter were killed, I went home to see my family. Never stopped.
He was vice president for 36 years. Go figure. Okay, then now this is a Grandpa Simpson story. I'll just let it. I can't even begin to describe it. Cut 10.
And Scranton is where I played shortstop at the Grimmies Little League in the first year. It was put up. My dad helped build the field down there, and spent a lot of time at Simmy's buying penny candy, and Hank's Hoagies on Woodlawn Street, watching movies of the Roozy on the weekend, and trying to reenact all they did. And when you watch those movies, I think I was told, I don't know if it's true, I was the only kid in my era that I was able to walk across the lackey on that pipe that was just above the thing. If you fell in the lackey, you were a lackey, you were in trouble. But anyway.
I'm not from Scanton. maybe you have to be from Scanton to understand that. Is lackey, is that has something to do with Lackawanna? Like the Erie Lackawanna Railroad? I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Now we know where he learned his fondness for children came from. His father was buying kids penny candy and movie tickets.
And what kind of movies were they, did he say?
Hanging around the Little League fields.
And did he say the Roussillon movies or something? What kind of movies did he say?
Watch those movies. I think I was told, I don't know, and trying to reenact all they did. And when you watch those movies, Hank's Hoagies on Woodlawn Street, watching movies of the Roozy on the weekend.
Movies of the Roozyons? I'm not familiar with those films. And again, I know a lot about B movies from the 1940s.
They might not be talkies.
There's nothing better than getting some penny candy and going to the Nickelodeon. I love that guy, Max Sennett. He's more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Okay, so let's play cut 12.
I've visited one of the largest solar fields in America. It's in the Southwest.
A solar field. Okay. Let's have a little yelling. He's yelling about getting cars off the road. And by the way, always remember, he's talking about your car, my car. He's not talking about his car or Jen Psaki's car or Chuck Schumer's car. He's talking about our cars. Cut 15.
You take the train. We will take literally millions of automobiles off the road. Off the road. Saving tens of millions of barrels of oil. Dealing with cleaning up the air. This is not hyperbole. This is a fact. These are facts.
These are facts. And don't you forget it. We're going to make the price of gasoline so expensive, we're going to get millions of cars off the road. We're going to get we're going to get trillions of cars off the road so those trillionaires can't go around polluting the environment. Cut 3.
Their jobs are out of town, no longer in town. No longer in town. But 65% do not own an automobile. They live in a black or Hispanic neighborhood or a poor neighborhood. And all the time they waste trying to get to work.
Is he saying 65% of black people don't have cars and Hispanics? I think that's what he said, isn't it?
That's what I heard.
Can we have a fact check on that, please? Cut 2.
How can we compete in a world of millions of American parents, especially moms, can't join the workforce because they can't afford the cost of child care or elder care?
The cost of child care.
join the workforce because they can't afford the cost of child care or elder care.
Yeah. You know, I could probably get a third job if I could, you know, but if only I could find someone to take care of my child.
They can't afford the cost of child care.
The cost of taking care of my child is just too much for me. London Bridge is falling down. You've heard that old nursery rhyme, I guess it is. Let's hear Joe Biden's version of London Bridge is falling down. Cut six.
There are 45,000 bridges, according to the Society of Engineers. 45,000. A significant portion of them are ready to fall into the water, into the gap that they cover.
Fall into the river, the gap. Cut eight.
I remember riding a trolley. I lived at the end of the line, as they say, in Greenridge. Three blocks, the end of the line.
I think he's nearing the end of the line again. And he's not even on a trolley. He's on Air Force One, believe it or not. Cut 11.
At St. Paul's, you know, my nickname was Blackbird. It was bye-bye-bye-bye Blackbird. It wasn't meant as a compliment.
Did Corn Pop call you that? Cut 16.
What are we doing? This is the United States of America, damn it. What are we doing?
That is a damn good question, damn it.
He said that right after asking, how many people did he see in a McDonald's parking lot trying to get the internet for their kids?
Not many, Joe. I'm gonna round it off. The over-under is zero. And I'm going to take the under. Cut 17.
I just want you to know that Amtrak is here. They can tell you that you should name half the line after me. I am the most railroad guy you're ever going to meet. 2,100,000 miles on Amtrak. Hear me now? Not a joke.
I mean, you know, under the right conditions, a cat could ride 2.1 million miles. I mean, what does that mean? Does everybody who's been riding the MBTA, the buses, the so-called rapid transit, the commuter rail, even the ferry boat, do you brag about how many miles you rode on the MBTA or SEPTA if you live in Philadelphia?
I wonder if there's anybody that's requested the records from Amtrak going back to 1970, whatever, if he's actually ridden those miles.
Joey, baby, they want the records. Not for nothing, but we're going to make some up tonight. Me and Buddy and Cheech. 844-500-4242. We'll take some calls. Maybe we'll have some more cuts when we come back, but we will take a couple more calls. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break.
You're slapped, you'll take it and like it.
Howie Carr is back.
At St. Paul's, you know, my nickname was Blackbird. It was bye-bye-bye-bye Blackbird. It wasn't meant as a compliment.
Blackbird, singing the blues all day, right outside of my door. Blackbird, Blackbird.
I used to hear that song at the Penny Candy store right before we went to the Nickelodeon to see the Rash Man movies or something.
I just did the math on his Amtrak trips. I think I did it. So 104 days out of the year he wasn't traveling because it was Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
So I gave him the 5 days a week every week for, what, 36 years or so.
That's his number, 36.
111 yes. miles one way, so 222 miles round trip, only comes to 831,168 miles.
Total. Can't let the man continue with fuzzy math.
But Joey, baby, some days you came back for lunch to get into bed with your kids. And then you came back in the afternoon for the votes after lunch, when Ted Kennedy would have to, someone would have to wake him up because he was passed out at his desk. Joey, baby. So we got some more
Oh, yeah.
Jared, what do we got? Let's go. I'm going to let you make the calls here now.
All right. Well, he's fixated on the G7, so he feels the need to talk about that again.
But I think we're going to surprise them, because I think people are beginning to figure out what's at stake. You know, when I use the phrase "build back better," it's being used internationally now. I got the G7, the largest countries in the world, to agree that we're going to have a build back better world, and we're going to invest and we're going to build around the world.
Okay, we're going to build around the world. That's why you need a build back better plane to go around the world. Keep going.
The bill invests in our workforce, providing much needed breeding room for families. My dad used, I remember when we moved to Wilmington.
Breeding room?
Breeding room.
Breeding room?
The bill invests in our workforce, providing much needed breeding room for families. My dad used, I remember when we moved to Wilmington.
I didn't know you needed a special room for breed. I guess, you know, some people would say it would be the bedroom, but I guess I think you could breed in other rooms as well. Keep going.
We used to come back after 10:30 Mass at St. Paul's. St. Clair's wasn't built till I had moved at St. Paul's, and my grandfather would hold court. And back in those days, all the men had breakfast in the kitchen. My mother was one of five children, four brothers. One was lost in World War II, and a guy who was the chief political reporter at the newspaper, Tommy Phillips, who was lived the street behind us, and was a good friend of my grandfather's. And all the women would go in the dining room on the lace tablecloth and have tea, and the men would in fact have a big breakfast.
How do you hear that and think this is a sane man?
Whatever. Oh, my God.
What four-letter word kept going through your mind as you were listening to that? What the bleep?
Oh. Got anything else there, Jared? We're out of time. I'm sorry, guys, that we didn't get to the phone calls, but we were just having a big breakfast. All of us and Tommy Phillips. And the women were in they were at the kissing table. Yeah, and there was a lot of breeding going on in those days. Back tomorrow, I'm Howie Carr.